All right, if you want to stand with me, I am so excited to start off this year worshiping our God and our Savior. My name's Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here at Southlands. And we got someone rushing the stage for their dad. I can't wait for the day that Ollie's up here leading us in worship. Just a brief note before we start. Thank you guys for wearing your mask. This isn't our usual request, but we have over 40 plus people in our community who have COVID right now. And so in light of how quickly it's spreading in our community, we are just gonna kind of through the whole service wear our mask, myself included, just to kind of prevent that. But that's not an official thing moving forward. And to all those online who are literally sick right now watching our live stream, we miss you. We're praying for your recovery. We hope you get better soon and you can come join us worshiping us in person. You know, this last year I've been journaling through the Psalms, and it's been a real, real gift to me. And one of the Psalms that really jumped out at me is Psalm 47. And we're going to read it together as we start. But I just want to make two comments on this psalm, and then we're going to read it because I think it really is going to frame our time together worshiping Jesus our King well. So as we go through Psalm 47, you'll notice there's two big ideas. The first idea is that our God is King. And he's King over all people. He's King over all creation. And that means every part of your life is in God's control. Just pause and think about that for a minute. Every aspect of your life is in God's control. Now, if God's a good God, that's a great thing. If God's a bad God, that's a terrible thing. And so the second truth is just as important, is that because God reigns, he dispenses to his people joy. That's the result. The fact that our God's in control of every aspect of your life, past, present, and future, means that there is joy available to you. And in verse 5, when we get there, there's an allusion to that great moment in the Old Testament where the Ark of the Covenant, which represents God's presence with his people, has been lost for years and years and years. And finally, it's making its way to Jerusalem, and the people are shouting and they're singing and they're celebrating because God is with his people. And this psalm basically says, because God is in control of everything and because God brings joy, we should sing praises. We should sing praises and shout for joy. So if we could get that psalm up here, we are going to read it together in unison. I'll lead and you can follow just the pacing of my voice. Here we go. Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud shouts of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great King over all the earth. He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. Lord, we sing praises this morning. We sing praises because you are good and you're in control and you are here to meet with us and you are here to dispense joy to your people. And so God, as we reflect on your nature and your character, Lord, we ask that you would be worshiped and adored here this morning. Let's sing.
Praise be your weapon that conquers all anxiety. let it rise, let praise arise. We sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. We sing with all we are and we claim your victory. Let it rise, let praise arise.
Come on.
We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, the faith be a song that overcomes the raging sea. Faith be the song that calms the storm inside of me. Let it rise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. For fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. This is what living looks like. Yeah. This is what heaven sounds like. Woo-hoo. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you. We praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. Creation cry, God, we come on, see it. We'll break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. All creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, 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 we praise you. Oh, 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 we praise you. Oh, 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 we praise you. Oh, 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 come on, praise the name. Lift up the name of Jesus. Praise you, God.
Good, yeah? So a new year is upon us, 2022. I'm not going to poll us, but I think if we gave 21 a score between 1 and or 0 and 10, I think the average would be kind of lowish, right? And, you know, I agree, circumstance was not ideal last year. But if we put that scale up against the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God, the satisfaction we get as children of God, what would that number be? Come on now, right? That's right. And so I just want to encourage you guys as we look into this year and as we take this moment, instead of, I mean, look, goals, plans, those are important things. And let's have them. But let's not put ourselves in the center of this year. Let's take a moment and put Jesus in the center of this year. And let's ask him, Lord, what do you want from my life? How can I be more and more like you? So let's just sing this song together as we think about God's goodness and faithfulness.
Father of kindness, you have poured out grace. You brought me out of darkness, you have filled me with peace. Giver of mercy, you're my help in time of need. Lord, I can't help but sing. All your promises are yes and amen. All your promises are yes and amen.
Yes!
Beautiful Savior, you have brought me near. You pulled me from the ashes. You've broken every curse. Blessed Redeemer, you have set this captive free. Is your faithfulness, faithfulness.
are faithful, Lord.
Stop working. You never
never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, 'cause you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 'Cause you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Declare that is who you are. That is who you are. Holy, you are righteous. Who you are. That is who you are. You deserve all the praise. That is who you are. That is who you are, God. You are the King of Kings, the Lamb that was slain. That is who you are. Holy. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are. That is who you are. Father, come and seek our hearts. We pour it out for you. That is who you are. Oh, Jesus. Faithful.
Come on, let's declare as one.
Faithful forever you will be. Faithful you are.
All your promises
and all your promises are yesterday. And all your promises, all your promises.
Are yes and amen, so good.
And all your promises are yes and amen.
Faithful Father, we praise you, Lord. So good, so good.
Did any of you grow up with that red plate that said you are special, that you got to eat off of on your birthday or holidays? Yeah, I had one of those plates. And I'm not here to talk about how you're special, although you are special. That plate was devoted, was set apart. It was devoted for special events. That means unless it was your birthday or unless it was Christmas, you couldn't eat off of that plate. It was set in a cupboard somewhere or set up high somewhere. It was set apart. It was devoted. It was holy for that particular use. When you give to a nonprofit and you put in the line item a specific aspect of their budget, it is devoted. Those funds are set apart and they can only be used towards that expense. And in the Bible, we are invited to devote ourselves to the Lord. That means to say, Lord, this body, this life, whether I'm a husband or a roommate or an employee, a follower of Jesus, I want to devote myself to God. And there have been a lot of prophetic contributions this morning. God is really, really speaking to us. And before we kind of transition to the rest of our service, I would love to just give us an opportunity to devote ourselves to the Lord, to actually, like that You Are Special plate, put it in a place, put our hearts, put our bodies, put our minds in a place where we say, God, this year, we want to be used by You. We want to be able to fellowship with You, to know You. We want to be set apart. We want to be made holy. We want to be devoted so that we can know God and we can be used for His purposes. And so I'm going to invite Mandy and Karen up, and they both had similar words to kind of help us to just take a moment and to devote ourselves to the Lord. Mandy, you can share first.
A couple days ago, I was sweeping the kitchen, and it was midday, so it wasn't bright, and I didn't have the lights on. And when I was sweeping, I was looking down, being mindful of what I was picking up. And I felt like God say, there's people who are cleaning their house in the dark. And I just kept on sweeping, and I thought, well, I know my house. I know this is a galley kitchen. It's not very big. I know all the corners. And then I went to the living room, and I kept on sweeping, and I kept on hearing there's people who are cleaning their house in the dark. And then I just thought, okay, I'm gonna turn on the lights. Is that what You want me to do, Lord? And I turned on the lights, and I was if I didn't even sweep, because I saw where I started and didn't finish, and I saw areas where I walked into that were dirty. And I felt like God said, my word is a light unto your feet, and it will look like darkness, even in the mid of the day, if you don't inquire of me. You will relabel things that are, oh, that's just broken, but it actually is unforgiveness you have. You will remodel your house, but He's restoring His house. And we are the temple of the living God, and He has the right to say, turn the lights on. Let my word be a light that informs you of what you're seeing, that directs you to where you're going, and that calls you back to me every moment when you need to know something.
As Dan started the worship, he used the word centrality, didn't you? You talked about the centrality of Jesus. And a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting praying about my own devotion to Jesus, and I felt God say, invite me in to areas where You are central, Karen, in your life, and I am not. And I just said, Lord, I'm not really aware. And so I wrote some things down, finances, time, choices, and values. But I felt the invitation. It wasn't a challenge. It was an invitation from the Father. It's a gentle thing. Ask me to come into your life and reveal to you, Karen, where I'm not the center, because you don't know. And I felt there was another list unwritten with a pen in my hand. And the Father wanted to say, this area, that area, that area. So it's a gentle invitation this morning, where Father God wants us to have Jesus as a center, and everything pivots around Him. And I want that. But He's saying, you're not aware, Karen. So the invitation is to become aware and to sit with a heart of repentance and to receive from Jesus what He wants to set me free from. And He wants me to be built up in Him differently than I am. And so I just felt there was an invitation to the centrality of Jesus this morning. And there's an unwritten list. What is the list or the thing that Jesus is saying? I'm not center there, Karen, or Southland's prayer, I'm not center there. Make me center today. It's an invitation. Yeah.
I want to give us a chance to start off the year sweeping the house of our soul and inviting God to be central. You know, I think the world would say you start off the year in a place of strength by lifting weights in a gym or something like that. But the irony of how God works is to start off the year in a place of strength is actually kneeling and submitting to the King and saying, would you have your way in my life? And so I'm gonna kneel with you. And if you are able and you are wanting to devote this year to the Lord, I would invite you wherever you are to kneel. And Daniel's just gonna play in the background, and whether you need to turn on the light of God's word and sweep and do some cleaning, or you need to say, God, I haven't been central in this aspect of my life, come and be central. We are gonna start off this year by devoting ourselves to the Lord. Lord, we devote ourselves to you this year. We want to know you, and we want to pursue being friends of God. And so whether we're at home, watching online in our living room, or here in this very room, God, we want to say as a community, we want to know you, and we want to be used by you in powerful ways this year. God, give us the courage and the vulnerability and the bravery to sweep in the rooms of our soul, God, to confess sin and to see things the way you see things. God, give us the glasses, the lens, the vision we need to make you central, that we order everything in our life around serving and loving and blessing your holy name and living on your sacred mission. And so, God, I pray as we transition soon to the sermon and the light of God's word is preached, Lord, as it looks into our hearts, Lord, we just receive the word of God, Lord, in this posture on our knees and say, God, what do you have for us? What do you have for us this morning? And so, Spirit, would you give us the strength to live out the things that we desire? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you are in kindergarten or up to fifth grade, if you want to head out in the lobby, your teachers are waiting for you. If you're younger than kindergarten or you're older than fifth grade, you're going to stay here with us for the service. And with that, I'm going to welcome up, I think, Christine Nethers for the announcements. Let's give it up for Christine.
Thanks, Ryan. It's great to see all of you this morning. Welcome to 2022. We're here. And a couple of announcements. If this is your first Sunday joining us, just a huge welcome to you. We would love to get to know you. We'll have some leaders out on the south end of the lobby. Thanks, Ryan. And they'll have a donut and coffee for you. So please visit us at the Visitor Center. We'd love to get to know you. And next Sunday at 12 p.m., we will have our newcomers lunch. We'll have some free In-N-Out for you. This will be in our lobby. This is a wonderful opportunity to ask any questions you might have about Southlands and to get to know some more leaders and to really figure out who we are as a church. So please join us there. Please save the date for that and join us at the Visitor Center today. Southlands, we just also want to thank you so much for your generosity to this church. As we look back to 2021, we can just see how your generosity really sustained us as well as strengthened us in our mission to make disciples of Christ. So thank you. As we start out this year, we'd also just like to give the opportunity for you to give to see our mission go forward with real strength. this next year. So a couple ways to do that. Our ops team will be coming down the aisles with baskets. You'd like to drop in cash or check there. You can also give online, as it says on the screen, and there are some baskets in the back as well. So thank you again. We look forward to partnering with you this next year. Couple of announcements, and we have some save the dates. First one is for all the women here. I lead our women's ministry along with Kim Long, who's over here. And we have monthly events going all throughout the year that we would love for you to join us. Please save the date for the 14th of January. We're going to have a hike at 4 p.m. and our dinner at 5:30. We'll have some more information coming about that soon. And we'll put this up on our website. We have dates scheduled for the rest of the year. So ladies, we'd love for you to join us and please save the date and look out for more info. And this next one is for everyone. Our engage groups, our midweek small groups and book groups are starting in 2 weeks' time on the 16th. We're really excited for this. This is the best way to get discipled and to be known, especially in a larger church. These groups are vital. We'd love 100% of people to be in an engaged group in this next year. So please save the date for that of 2 weeks' time to look forward to not having your calendars so full so you can be engaged in one of those engaged groups. We will have signups online starting next Sunday. So just know that we love you in a small group and look out for more information. With that, it's my pleasure to welcome up J.D. Sinkbile.
Good morning, Southlands. How are we doing? Happy New Year, you guys. Good to be with you. I'm not going to waste too much time on talking about resolutions. I know you haven't even started those yet. Tomorrow morning, you can do this. Go for it. Some of you may even just gave up on resolutions this year. You're like, what's the point? Here we go again. But just a little encouragement. My wife's got this new sign kind of hanging up above our breakfast table that, you know, could just be something for you to just encourage yourself with. It just says, just in case no one told you today, hello, good morning, you're awesome, I believe in you, nice bum. So I give that to you. But I think we're gonna need a lot more than just some self-help positivity this year. So we're kicking off a new vision series called Preaching to the Choir, remembering the truths that have formed us. And we want to take the first 4 weeks of this year of just kind of getting back on the same page. Who are we? What is our vision as a church? Reminding ourselves of our values and our mission. Say it with me. We are a gospel-centered church, spirit-empowered, community on mission. I can tell you all know those. Our vision statement is we want to see a gospel constellation of light planted in the Southlands. So we're a church that is founded on the gospel. We're a church that believes that it's our responsibility to partake in the Great Commission, to see churches planted in our region and to the world. But here's the thing, Southlands. In the last couple years, our church has changed significantly in terms of the makeup, the people. We have, raise your hand if you've been here 10 years or more. All right, it's quite a number of hands around the room. Some people have even been here 20, 30 years. This church has existed as long history that's over 50 years old. But now raise your hand if you've joined in the last 2 years. I see a lot of new hands. So see, our assumption is that one, even if you've been here for a really long time, it's always good to remember who we are and what God's called us to. But there's also a lot of you who have just joined and we realize, oh man, you might not even have a real sense of what our mission, what our vision is as a church. And so we want to take some time at the beginning of this year to sync up, get on the same page, and chart a course for where God's going to take us here in 2022. So today I'm going to preach on gospel-centered mission. So go ahead and open up your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I'm going to begin reading from verse 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. When we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere. So we need not say anything, for they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have been faithful, that you have sustained us. And Lord, at the same time, we cry out, it feels like there's great opposition to following you, to sustaining. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you open our hearts to your word this morning? Would you do a work in us? Would you help Southlands to continue to be centered on the gospel and partakers of your great mission for your glory and our joy? Amen. So as I go through this text today, in the kind of the thought of preaching to the choir, along the way, I just want you to assess and say, hey, am I a part of the choir? And how am I doing right now? Am I singing in tune? Or where am I at? And not in any kind of way to shame or anything like that, but just can we take some stock and let the word of God help us this morning to just set us on the right track for this year? Thessalonians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul. It's written to the church in the city of Thessalonica. Thessalonica was a capital city of the Roman province of Macedonia. It was a coastal city, a harbor city. It was influential. It religiously, it was a part of the Greco-Roman pantheon. It also had lots of cults, and so it's just a very pagan city, a very progressive city. And Acts 17 tells us that this church had an incredible beginning. Paul came into town with his posse, and as he usually did, he went to the synagogue, and he began to preach. And it says that he preached three Sundays, three Sabbaths in a row, and the Spirit broke out. This is incredible. It was every church planter's dream. It says that some devout Jews put their faith in Jesus, that many Greeks, Gentiles, they're baptizing people. Different ethnicities and groups are coming together. This church is off and running. It is amazing. 3 weeks, sign me up. But then trouble ensues. Jewish religious leaders, as seemed to be par for the course, were jealous. They come in, they start stirring stuff up. They get a mob going and a riot, and there's chaos in the city. It's so bad that Paul has to flee for his life in the middle of the night. Things are no longer going well. This church is experiencing opposition and affliction, and they just started following Jesus. So they're asking questions like, wait a minute, okay, we believe that Jesus saves, but when is it he's coming back? Or how's this wrath thing work? And when is the day of judgment? And they just have all these questions. And so Paul writes this letter to strengthen and to encourage this church. And so can you relate with the Thessalonians choir? Can you look back and remember the gospel coming to you in power? Was it definitive? Is it memorable? Jesus did a work that is undeniable in your life. But maybe like the Thessalonians too, it's maybe opposition has come or doubt or fear, and there's just been this wavering. And so we need encouragement this morning. See, I love how Paul starts his letters. He always starts it's with this uplifting encouragement. He says, I love you guys. I'm praying for you. I thank God for you, and I remember who you are in Christ Jesus. He says, we thank God for you in verse 3, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we all need some Paul in our corner. We need people. We need brothers and sisters and friends and pastors that are loving us, praying for us, and telling us, hey, stay the course. Maybe you're doubting. Maybe you struggled. Maybe you really messed up. But I'm praying for you, and I remember who you are in Jesus. I remember the powerful work that Jesus did in your life, and he's not done with you yet. Keep on going. And so Paul starts with the gospel. He starts with reminding this church the good news that Jesus saves, and he wants this church to be firmly established on Christ's work. So the gospel is supposed to be central to everything else that he says. It's supposed to be central to everything else that he calls this church to do, to believe, how they're supposed to obey and live out what they experience in Jesus. It all starts with the gospel and flows from the gospel. And in verse 3, we see three mission words paired with three gospel words. The mission words are, he says this, work, labor, steadfastness. It's three ways that he's saying the same thing, is that you need to obey and be about the work of Jesus. You need to move the mission forward. You need to stand fast and not give up. But these words are paired with these gospel words of faith, love, and hope. See, it's a work of faith. It's a labor of love. It's steadfastness of hope. In who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we don't work on our own. We don't labor to try and to be good enough to enter into the kingdom of heaven. No, Jesus has welcomed us in. Jesus has saved you. It's in Christ Jesus that we stand. And so the big idea that I want to get forward today is that our mission flows from our gospel. And this is the truth that we all know, but it's the truth that we have such a hard time remembering and holding on to. And so when we talk about being a gospel-centered church, this is what we're talking about. And so I want to make five observations of the gospel in this text to help us to make it central to us again as we begin this year. The first one is the gospel starts with God. Look at verse 4. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. This is huge. Do you know how amazing this is? That God has loved, that God has chosen you. Do you believe this? Not just do you know this, but do you believe this? See, I think this is maybe the most important and hardest to believe aspect of the gospel in an ongoing sense, because of the powerful grip of shame that exists on our life. As authors like Brené Brown have helped bring mainstream and make us aware. Shame is this universal human experience. Brown defines shame as the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging. Something we've experienced, done, or failed to do makes us unworthy of connection. This is core to our human experience, and so it is so difficult to believe that we're loved by God. And secular therapy will tell you that you're not that bad, that what you actually, the way that you deal with shame is to bring it into the light, to bring it forward and to receive empathy. Brown says that the breeding ground for shame is secrecy, silence, and judgment. But the antidote is empathy. So the idea is that if I bring my shame to others, if I open myself up and I find community that will validate me, I can be okay. I can be free of shame. And don't get me wrong, I don't think this is wrong. I think that these community, vulnerability, empathy, these are tools that the gospel uses. But in and of themselves, they are not enough because there's a problem. As Kurt Thompson in his book, The Soul of Shame, rightly identifies, researchers have described shame as a feeling that is deeply associated with a person's sense of self. Apart from any interactions with others, guilt, on the other hand, emerges as a result of something I have done that negatively affects someone else. Guilt is something I feel because I have done something bad. But listen to this. Shame is something I feel because I am bad. So the problem is that I am bad. I don't just need empathy from a friend, I need saving from myself. And the gospel is the ultimate shame buster. See, the gospel just completely takes away and destroys shame. It doesn't say, don't worry, you're not flawed. It says you are, and God loves you anyway. It's incredible. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. God, being rich in mercy because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. See, you were loved by God when you were dead in your sin. Not because you did something, not because you were able to crawl out, not because you were able to pull yourself together, but because God made the first move. He moved towards you. He initiated. He said, I want relationship with you. I have plans and a purpose for you. And that can heal. That can remove shame. If shame is driven by my unworthiness of connection, it's God who's able to cover the divide and make me whole again. But because it's so central to our condition and our fallenness as humans, it's something that we battle. It's the thing that can cause us to forget to move and shift from the gospel. Here's how this plays out in my life. For those of you who are like the Enneagram personality profile, I'm a number one. Sometimes that's referred to as a reformer. And on my best day, that's me. Full of faith, charging, excited to change the world, believe that change can happen. Sometimes, though, the number one is referred to as the perfectionist. And on my bad days, that's fully me. Trying to just fix everything and myself and just feeling my complete inadequacy. I almost quit my job 5 times yesterday trying to get ready for this sermon because that critic is just so loud and deafening. Are you kidding me? You're going to preach? What business do you have preaching? This doesn't make any sense. No one's going to understand you. It's not going to come together. What are you doing? And just on and on, and that voice of shame comes in. But I have two hobbies that God's given me that have become kind of a metaphor for my Christian life. The first is bow hunting. I like to hunt, and I had the opportunity to go this fall, and I had this amazing experience, this three-year, four-year dream scenario that I've been waiting for. I'm sitting in a tree, 30 yards away, a huge buck with a massive rack breaks into the clearing, walking right towards me. He gets to 15 yards, and he takes a nice turn, and he forms up broadside, perfect shot. And I go to draw my bow, and my mitten hits the trigger. And the arrow goes like that. 4 years down the drain. See, archery is all about hitting the mark. And if you miss the mark, it's game over. To make it worse, I had taken Matt Larson, one of our other pastors, his first time ever bow hunting, and he put down a nice 8-point buck. He's at home today watching online. Hey, Matt. Yeah. He's texting me last night. He's like, these tenderloins are huge. I'm like, you, come on. And this is how I live. Missing the mark constantly. My wife's a therapist. She's always telling me, quit shooting all over yourself. Because I'm just like, I should have done this. I should have done that. And she's just like, stop it. Yes, my wife has an inappropriate sense of humor. You've gotten that today. She's a blast. Another hobby I have is surfing. And I love to be in the ocean. I love to go down to Doheny State Beach or San Onofre, where it's got these long rolling waves that on a good day, if you catch one, it'll go for several hundred yards. And you're just cruising up and down this wave. It's the best thing ever. Here's the deal, though. I make mistakes all the time in surfing. I slip, I fall off, I don't catch the wave. And it never messes with me for more than a moment. Because why? There's another wave coming. Just paddle back out and go for it. And see, between archery and surfing, I think surfing is how God wants us to live. We're in an endless ocean of grace with another wave coming. Again and again, God just says, you're my son, you're my child, look what I just teed up for you. Another opportunity to try to live with me, to walk with me as a son and as a daughter. Oh, church, this is what God has for us. See, I think shame is one of the biggest things that can hinder us in mission this year. And so I want to call us back to a gospel that says, no, God chose you. You're a son, you're a daughter. He loved you when you were in your worst. And now he's given his spirit to you, and he has good plans for you. And so don't live in shame. This is what Mandy and what Karen were talking about with their words. Will you take stock? Where is shame at work in your life right now? Where are you believing the lies of your inner critic? And can you reestablish your identity as a son and as a daughter of Jesus Christ? Can you live out of that this year? All right, for this next point, I'm going to need you to stand up. Little intermission here. I'm going to wake you up. So go ahead and stand up. In verse 5, he says that the gospel came to you not only in word, which means it did come in word. And we could be too quick to skip over that. And church, what I want to put before us is that the gospel is a word to be believed. It's a propositional truth that Paul stood up in the synagogue and he preached, and then people said, I believe in that. And I love how he says, our gospel. Paul personifies this. He can no longer distinguish between where he starts and who he is as a new creation in Christ Jesus, where that ends. And so he says, this is my gospel. This is our gospel. And so I just want to say that the gospel is truth to be believed. And so I want us to recite together the Apostles' Creed and just remind ourselves that this is propositional truth that as a church we adhere to. And so will you read this out with me in one voice? It should be on the screen. There we are. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Well done. Yes, you can grab a seat. Thank you. Verses 9 and 10 say that the Thessalonians turned from idols and they prepared themselves for the wrath that was to come. Church, in our day and age, it is getting more and more difficult to turn from idols, the idols of comfort, the idols that say we're not gonna make the gospel costly, you can believe whatever you want. But I would say, church, it is so important that we continue to believe the truth and that there is a truth, that Jesus came, that he died, that he rose again for the forgiveness of our sins, and he will come again and he will bring judgment. The third observation of the gospel in our text today is the gospel comes in power. It came in word, but verse 5, it also came in power, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Al will preach more fully on this in a couple weeks. We are a gospel-centered, spirit-empowered community on mission. We believe that the gospel isn't just a word to be believed, but that it comes in power. And Paul's gospel came to the Thessalonians not only as a cognitive propositional truth, but in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. And this is my hope today. So my hope is that even as I preach a gospel that you know so well as a church, I preach it in its simplicity. My hope is that it comes in power. Power of the Holy Spirit to strengthen you, to upbuild you, to encourage you, to transform you for all righteousness. My hope is that as I preach it with conviction, that it realigns us as a community. And so I'm trusting that God is at work even right now to that end. And so what is it that the Spirit wants to do today? What's he want to do in you, choir? Where does he want to realign and retune you? Are there ways that over this last year you've drifted from this gospel? That the Spirit wants to again come and he wants to bring and give you full conviction, full assurance that you wouldn't doubt, that you wouldn't waver, but that you would stand firm. Because number 4, the gospel results in change. Let's pick up in verse 6. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. So I'm not sure that it would be true for us to say that, like the Thessalonians, we received the word in much affliction. We probably have received it with the joy of the Holy Spirit, right? The gospel's been good news, but I don't know that most of us here in the West have experienced great persecution, great affliction because of the gospel. That might not be true. There could be a couple in the room that have either grown up in a context or in a family where believing in Jesus has cost you greatly, but for most of us, it just hasn't been the case. And I think we're probably a ways off, even now, as pressure, I think we feel the pressure growing, but I think we're a ways off in the West from full-blown at least physical persecution. But Southlands, even as that might be true, we're feeling the pressure, aren't we? And even just the pressure of just our world, like today, as we have one service with many people online watching, as COVID is hitting us as a church harder now than it has yet to this point as we enter into our third year of pandemic. Can you believe it? I can remember last year at this time being so hopeful for 2021. Thinking the pandemic's coming to an end, we're planting churches, we're going for it, everything's gonna be great. And man, I just don't feel quite as hopeful this year. Maybe a little bit weary and a little bit tired. And so I think that's why we need to return to this work of faith, this labor of love, and the steadfastness of hope. Oh, church, maybe more than anything else, we need to stand fast in hope. Because God is still at work. Many of our brothers and sisters around the world, I think of our sister churches in India, they're battling the pandemic, and they're also battling intense physical persecution for their faith. I just read an article a couple weeks ago in the New York Times. You know it's bad when the New York Times starts writing articles about religious persecution on Christians. Guys, we need to be at prayer for our brothers and sisters around the world, but can we also look to them? Can we imitate them? Can we imitate their way of faith? Because they have received it with the joy of the Holy Spirit in such a way that they're saying, no matter what, it's worth it. No matter what, this good news about Jesus is worthy of my life. It's worthy of my following. Can that inspire us? Can it encourage us? See, that's what the Thessalonians did. They looked at Paul as Paul looked to Jesus. And they said, we're gonna walk in the way that this guy walks. They received it under great affliction, but they were looking at a guy who had been shipwrecked, who had been beaten, who was fleeing for his life, and he said, don't worry, it is worth it. I stay the course for the joy of the gospel. And guys, can we let the gospel change us and transform us and so capture our hearts that it makes us a people who are steadfast in hope? The gospel changes us. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Because this is what Paul did. He said, look to me as I look to Christ Jesus. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. See, we have a cloud of witnesses. We have those that we read about in our text today, and we have our brothers and sisters around the world. Church, we're surrounded by so many that are an example for us that we can follow. But ultimately, we can look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy that was set before him, Jesus looked to the Father and he stayed the course and he endured. Let's take some hope that the joy of the Lord will be with us and it will be our strength in 2022. Listen to again to Kurt Thompson in The Soul of Shame. He says, joy was and is at the heart of God's Trinitarian existence. For Jesus enduring the cross is possible because before anything else, he is paying attention to the joy of being together with us in relationship with his Father in the Spirit. Joy is the byproduct of integration, of connection within a matrix of safe relationships. These relationships also place demands on us because they expect and hope that we will live in such a way as to promote goodness and beauty. See, we do. We need community around us. We need empathy. We need each other. We need to help and encourage. Please get into an engaged group as we start this year. Please sign up to be in transformational community. We need that so much. But listen to this, joy in this sense is the outcome of Jesus' awareness of his Father's absolute delight in him. His joy in Jesus' presence, not just Jesus' behavior. Furthermore, this joy culminates in Jesus' eventual movement to carry out the vision for his place in the world, to be its Lord. In the same way, as we turn our attention to our Father's delight and do those things that facilitate our belief that is this story we live in, we further create the proper space to discover domains of creativity, good works which God prepared beforehand in advance for us to do. Church, do you believe that God delights in you? That he delights in your presence and not just your behavior? That when he looked at you, he loved you and had compassion upon you, that he pursued you, and he has created you with good works to do? See, it's out of that love that then it motivates us to actually live on mission. It's out of our gospel that our mission flows. In landing with this, verse 8, the gospel is self-promulgating. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. See, this is the movement, this is the flow of the gospel, is that it comes to us, and as we receive it, it changes us. It transforms us, and God gives us his spirit in us, his love and his power to us, and then we sound forth. We sound it forth to the nations, to our communities, to our neighborhoods. And so, church, where is it that God wants you to rejoin and be upon his mission as you look to him? As you believe this foundational truth that you know so well, can it move you to again join the mission of God to see people come to know him this year? Are you trusting God for neighbors? Are you trusting God for friends and family and coworkers? Who is it that you are praying for? Are you standing fast in hope? Are you working in faith that Jesus wants to use you and your efforts to save? Maybe it didn't happen last year. Maybe there's that friend or that family member that you prayed for, and it just seems like they're still so hard. But will you stand fast in joy that today is another day for you to shower the love of Jesus on those who he brings into relationship with you? Will you labor in love so that they might know and experience the joy of the gospel that he wants to save? Southlands, let's allow the Spirit to realign and tune our hearts that we can sing with the great cloud of witnesses that Jesus is King, that he saves, and that his joy is everlasting and it's for us. Let's pray. Jesus, would you come do a work? Would you remove the shame, would you remove the doubts, the fears, the sin that clings to us? And could we again receive your love, Father God? We thank you that you move towards us. We thank you that you want to use us. And we trust, Jesus, that in 2022, that you will use Southlands Church to sound forth your message. Oh God, I look forward to being known for standing with you, Jesus, that you are continuing to save. God, more baptisms, more salvations, more joy in discipleship for us. Help us now. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you have communion, you can go ahead and grab that now. If you didn't, grab it on your way in. It's also available at the front and the corners. At this time, we're gonna just pause and take a moment to take communion together. Communion is something that we really cherish at Southlands Church. It's one of the only physical representations of how Christ has moved towards us through the gift of the cross to give us the gospel, that is to forgive us of our sins and to deal with our shame and to fill us with streams of living water that flow from us to other people And so as the band just quietly prays in the background, I just want to give us just a moment to reflect on everything that's been shared in this service, maybe words of the worship songs that we started with, or Karen and Mandy's prophetic contribution, or this beautiful, beautiful reminder of what God has done for us, that in spite of our unlovability, we've been loved. We've been deeply and forever loved. And that is a transformative action. The love of God changes us and allows us to love other people who are unlovable. And so as you take communion, as you reflect on God's mercy and his grace to you, why don't you just spend some time with the Lord this morning? And if you're online with us, I'd encourage you to maybe get a piece of bread and pour yourself some grape juice or some wine, and you can participate in communion with us as well. So let's take some time to do that now.
shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless then before the throne. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, oh, may I then trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. We trust in you, Jesus. We trust in you, Jesus.
Would you join me in a word of prayer as we close? Lord, thank you that you are over all things. Lord, every aspect of our life, that you see us. And Lord, thank you that you go before us, which I don't understand, but somehow you're already in the future, just like you're already with us in the present. Lord, I thank you that you see us, Lord, in our wrestlings with shame and insecurity and fear. Lord, you don't turn away from those struggles. You see us. And as Lisa reminded me before we started service, Lord, that God, you are eager and willing to enter into those places to bring healing and love, that you choose us and you love us. And so, Lord, I pray this year from that place of knowing you and being loved by you, in a profound way, God, that we would know other people and love other people, that this would spill out from us to those who are around us. And so, God, we have no idea what this year holds, but God, we know that you hold it. And so we thank you for that. That's our great assurance and our confidence and our trust. So, Lord, I just want to pray peace and rest over my brothers and sisters as they Sabbath today, as they think about the resurrected Lord and the things that were so brilliantly preached this morning, the words that we sung together. Lord, I pray that today would just be a day of peace. Lord, even in the midst of crying and fighting children at times or family tension or arguments, God, I just pray that you would supersede and reside over all of those details of life. And Lord, you would bless us with your presence and with a sense of your nearness. And may we rejoice because our King is on the throne and he dispenses joy to all who come to him. And so we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Southlands, thank you for being here. God bless you, and we'll see you back here next week, Lord willing, at 8:30 and 10:30.